This would be in contradiction with the sacred character of the city of Jerusalem.
There is no precedent in the history of Israel where a group was denied a license to march anywhere in the city.
If you are a gay or lesbian in Iran, if you have any gay or lesbian friendship, you are against in the Islam and you should sentence to death.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A U.S. appeals court contributes to marriage equality anxiety, regional conflicts complicate Jerusalem's World Pride controversy, and Iranian queer activists wage cultural war. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
With NewsWrap. A summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 15, 2006. Rulings affecting four U.S. states this week continue the recent spate of court decisions against marriage equality for gay and lesbian couples. In what may be the most troubling for queer legal advocates, a unanimous three-judge panel of the federal 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated Nebraska's six-year-old voter-approved constitutional ban on legal recognition of lesbian and gay couples. While prohibiting same-gender marriage, the amendment also states that the uniting of two persons of the same sex in a civil union, domestic partnership, or other similar same-sex relationship shall not be valid or recognized in Nebraska, making it perhaps the most restrictive marriage law in the country. The Eighth Circuit overturned a lower court decision last year that the ban was too broad and deprived gay men and lesbians of full participation in the political process. Lambda Legal and the American Civil Liberties Union's Lesbian and Gay Project argued that the amendment violated the fundamental rights of gay and lesbian people. But Nebraska Attorney General John Bruning said that plaintiffs are free to gather, express themselves, lobby, and generally participate in the political process however they see fit. The appellate judges wrote that laws limiting the state-recognized institution of marriage to heterosexual couples are rationally related to legitimate state interests and therefore do not violate the Constitution of the United States. The Nebraska law encourages heterosexuals to bear and raise children in committed marriage relationships. New York's High Court used that rationale in ruling last week that the state constitution does not require legal recognition of gay and lesbian couples. The Nebraska decision does not bode well for other federal challenges to existing marriage laws, certainly not cases originating in Middle America. Equality advocates are now considering their options. Those include an appeal to the full bench of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit or a petition to the U.S. Supreme Court.
A Connecticut Superior Court judge ruled this week that because the state's civil unions law provides the same protections and rights for gay and lesbian couples as marriage, the difference in name alone is not enough to cause legal harm under the state's constitution. Eight same-gender couples have sued the state, charging that civil unions are inferior to marriage and therefore confer separate but equal status. But Judge Patty Jenkins Pittman ruled that the Connecticut Constitution requires that there be equal protection and due process of law, not that there be equivalent nomenclature for such protection and process. She further wrote that the court rejects the argument that the rhetorical separation of marriage versus civil union is enough to invoke an equal protection or due process analysis. But Ben Klein, a senior attorney with Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, which represents the couples, challenged that reasoning. He told reporters that there aren't very many married people who would trade their marriage for a civil union. Ultimately, Klein predicted, the case will reach the Connecticut Supreme Court. This is just the first step in what we knew would be a long journey, he said.
Massachusetts lawmakers ended debate on 20 different constitutional amendments this week without confronting the most volatile of them on their agenda, a proposal to ban same-gender marriage in the only U.S. state where it's legal. The amendment would have to win the support of 50 of the 200 lawmakers during this and the 2007-2008 legislative session before it could be put to the voters. The move to recess the state's special constitutional convention until November 9th delays a decision on the politically charged issue until after the upcoming general election. Referring to legislative debates on the proposed ban since it was first introduced in 2002, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force's Matt Foreman lamented that the state's queer families have had to endure 16 yes or no votes about the validity of their relationships. This playing with people's lives to advance narrow political and partisan interests is beyond cruel. The amendment, which supporters hope to place on the 2008 ballot, would ban future same-gender marriages in Massachusetts. The state Supreme Judicial Court rejected a legal challenge this week to the constitutional validity of the proposal itself, but the court also said that if the ban is ultimately approved, the state would have to continue to recognize the more than 8,000 lesbian and gay couples who've married there since they became legal in May 2004.
And the Tennessee Supreme Court ruled late this week that the American Civil Liberties Union did not have standing to file a lawsuit against that state's proposal to ban legal recognition of same-gender couples. The ACLU had charged that the state failed to meet its own notification requirements for the November ballot measure, arguing that a six-week delay had hampered opponents' ability to mobilize against the amendment. The justices also concluded that widespread media coverage of the issue, well before the notification was formally issued, muted that argument. Tennessee already has a law banning same-gender marriage, but lawmakers who supported the proposed amendment said they wanted a constitutional restriction in case the existing law is overturned. 45 U.S. states have specifically outlawed same-gender marriage through statutes or constitutional amendments. Voters in six more are poised to vote on constitutional amendments in November, while similar proposals in two other states may also qualify.
Marking the first anniversary of Spain's becoming one of only four nations where gay and lesbian couples have access to traditional marriage, some 1.5 million people turned out for the LGBT Pride Parade in Madrid on July 1st. Duplicating the banners a few weeks earlier in Valencia, the theme of the Madrid march was also, "For diversity, all families matter," an apparent jab at last year's "Families Do Matter" campaign against same-gender marriage by the country's right-wing Family Forum. About 40,000 people also celebrated Pride in Barcelona. Police said the marchers themselves numbered about 3,500.
Two Spanish gay couples very publicly tied the knot this week in the Valencia town hall. Elsewhere in the city, Pope Benedict XVI was saying Mass before more than 1 million people to conclude his two-day visit to predominantly Catholic Spain. During the service, he once again condemned gays and lesbians and said limiting marriage to one man and one woman is a great good for all humanity. Admitting that it may not please the Pope, the timing of the weddings was chosen specifically to criticize the Roman Catholic Church's stance on sexual morality, according to the activist group Lambda, and to promote the diversity of the family.
Meanwhile, Spain's first gay divorce battle is underway, according to a report in the El Mundo newspaper. One man seeks to keep the house and the dogs and grant his husband pet visitation rights. The two men were not identified.
But two gay Air Force privates based in the Spanish city of Seville plan to legally wed in September, taking the country's new same-gender marriage law to the ranks of the military for what is believed to be the first time there. Their union may not be well received in the armed forces, but the two men, both of whom are named Alberto, say they don't care. Their last names were not released. Spain's defense ministry acknowledged that it was aware of the wedding plans through news reports, but said only that it was a personal matter and that the men have every right to wed under the marriage equality law that went into effect in the country on January 1st.
The wedding of two Nova Scotia Mounties, held at a downtown hotel in Yarmouth on June 30th, marked Canada's first marriage of two male Mounties. Jason Tree and David Connors, wearing the Mounties' trademark scarlet tunics, recited their own vows during a private ceremony before a justice of the peace and about 100 guests.
And finally, opponents of Arizona's proposed constitutional ban on legal recognition of same-gender couples sued this week to keep it off the November 7th ballot, charging that the measure violates the U.S. state's single-subject rule for voter initiatives. Georgia's Supreme Court rejected a similar challenge last week to an amendment passed by that state's voters in 2004. The plaintiffs in the Arizona lawsuit, however, are five heterosexual couples who argue that some voters may want to ban marriage but not other forms of legal recognition for same-gender couples. They're mostly senior citizens who believe that the initiative is written so broadly that it would strip them of the domestic partner recognition they enjoy in cities such as Phoenix, Tucson, and Tempe, as well as in Pima County. Protect Marriage Arizona turned in almost 308,000 signatures last week to qualify the measure for the ballot, far more than the 184,000 valid signatures required. Elections officials are expected to finish the verification process in about 2 weeks. A court ruling on the legal challenge will have to be made within 6 weeks because Arizona requires a lawsuit to be decided before ballots are printed. One of the plaintiff pairs, 59-year-old Caitlin Meadows and her partner, 68-year-old Albert Lannon, were the 10th couple to sign Tucson's domestic partner registry. According to a story in the Tucson Citizen, they decided to do that after learning that Meadows could lose her Social Security benefits if the two were to get married. "We are a late-in-life, tax-paying couple who has played by the rules all our lives," she told the Citizen, "but the rules have not protected us." Welcome to our world, Ms. Meadows.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending July 15, 2006, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
Canadian Asylum gives a gay Iranian activist his voice later in the program. It's a fast-developing story with no way to say what might happen next in the Middle East. The volatile region has been rocked in recent days by the sudden explosion in the Israel-Hamas-Hezbollah conflict that threatens to engulf several countries. At the same time, Israeli society is being drawn into a contentious debate over the LGBT World Pride Festival and parade planned for early August in the holy streets of Jerusalem. This Way Out correspondent Aaron Sicurel reports.
In protest of the 2006 World Pride Parade scheduled to take place in Jerusalem on August, hundreds of letters advocating death to the Sodomites were distributed to Jerusalem mailboxes in last week. They promised 20,000 shekels to anyone who brings about the death of one of the so-called residents of Sodom and Gomorrah. World Pride in the Middle East is not an easy task. Sacred to the three major world religions, Jerusalem is seen by some as a good place for unity under common values. But two small right-wing Israeli religious parties, National Union and Torah Judaism, submitted a no-confidence proposal in the Knesset, Israel's parliament, against the government. National Union Party member Yitzhak Levy at the Knesset podium compared the planned international LGBT pride parade to a march of those who commit incest.
תארו לעצמכם למשל שהיה מצעד לא של מצעד הגאווה, אלא מצעד מסוג אחר, מצעד של גילוי עריות.
All I'm asking from the gay community is to take into consideration with the fact that Jerusalem and the population of Jerusalem is not ready emotionally for this march. The city would burn, threatens Knesset member Levy. I don't like it myself, said Minister of Jerusalem Affairs Yaakov Edri, but he noted that the Israeli government has no legal authority to ban the march. I could join you in condemning the parade, but the only authority allowed to cancel it is the police in the city of Jerusalem. I believe the holy city should be kept out of this debate, said Minister Edri. However, some coalition members have different views. Former TV anchor Shelly Yechimovich, now a Labour Party member of the Knesset, stressed that the state has an obligation to protect the rights of the LGBT minority. Gays are not fighting for sexual orientation or for their bedrooms. It's a cultural, political fight for rights. And even if you despise them, Jerusalem is also the capital of gays and lesbians. The no-confidence vote fell short, but the debate has not ended. A previous discussion in the Internal Affairs Committee of Knesset included representatives of different religions, among them the Pope's representative in Jerusalem, Pietro Sambi.
This would be in contradiction with the sacred character of the city of Jerusalem.
A Muslim Knesset member, Ibrahim Tsartsour, asked the organizers to move the pride parade to just an hour's drive away, Sodom, where it all began and ended. The Islamic movement Knesset member claimed that Muslim society doesn't have these kinds of problems. The Israeli police still have to issue a decision regarding the security risks. Three marchers were stabbed at last year's local pride parade, providing what could be viewed as a valid security concern. Any decision would be regarded as a political one and is likely to be challenged in Israel's Supreme Court. The police might decide that the parade should be moved to the secular beach city of Tel Aviv, but the LGBT community would view that as a violation of freedom of speech. Noah Satat of the Jerusalem Open House, the main organizing group behind World Pride, believes that the LGBT festival and parade will go forward in Jerusalem as planned.
There is no precedent in the history of Israel where a group was denied a license to march anywhere in the city. The police has been very involved in Pride in Jerusalem in the past. They've done a remarkable job in securing freedom of speech here in Jerusalem, and I'm confident that they will continue carrying on their legal obligations this year.
Reporting from Tel Aviv for This Way Out, I'm Iran Sikure.
Love without borders.
Amor sin limites.
Love.
Help.
Amor.
Amore.
Amor. I do see you all in Jerusalem.
World Pride.
In another development from that region, the Beirut chapter of Helem, Lebanese Protection for LGBTIQ, is involved in assisting refugees and circulating a petition to stop the bombing. For more information, their website is www.helem.net. That's H-E-L-E-M.net.
There's nothing so international as a powerful idea. Hi, I'm Edmund White. While I live in Paris and have worked in many cities in the U.S., it is the overwhelming international flavor of the lesbian and gay rights movement that has proved so powerful and impressive over the past couple of decades. And one radio program, This Way Out, has been there to record, to inform, and to entertain. So please keep listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine on this station.
July 19th marks the anniversary of the public hangings of gay Iranian teenagers Mahmoud Askari and Ayaz Marhoni. As demonstrations memorialize their executions in cities around the world, queer activists who slipped out of Tehran's grip are coming out with their stories of oppression and their hopes for empowerment. Heather Kitching brought one such activist to the microphones of her Queer FM program in Vancouver, BC.
We are joined by Arshem Parsi, who has recently arrived in Canada from Iran. And he is the spokesperson for the Persian Gay and Lesbian Organization. Arshem, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell me, first of all, what your life was like in Iran. What city are you from?
Like, I'm from Shiraz. It's the south city of Iran, and is the cultural capital city of Iran. And I born in Shiraz and I grew up in Shiraz. And 1 year ago, in 4th of March 2005, I escaped from Iran to Turkey. And in Turkey, I introduced myself to UNHCR, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. And after 2 months, I recognized it as a refugee, and Canadian Embassy approved my case. And I came to Canada in 10th of May, and I'm very happy that I can live in a freedom country.
So how do gay people come to understand that they are gay? Is there media coverage of homosexuality? Is there any literature? How did you come to know that you were gay?
When I was about 10 years old, I understood that I am different from others, my friends. I didn't have any sense and in any special fantasy in my in girls. And I loved the boys and my senses. And the most persons in Iran understand. And when I was a child, understand they are different from others. But I recognized my sense in when I was 18, and I believed my sense. I believe that I'm a gay, and before that, I think that I am wrong and I do a wrong thing. But after I'm in 18 and I have a contact with internet and I find many friends in all around the world, I understood that I'm not alone in this world with this same, and many people say me, and I'm a normal, and I study, and I'm searching the internet and books, and I believe myself. And usually in Iran, the people understand and believe themselves about 16 or 18.
Are there ways in Iran for gay people to meet each other?
Yes, but it is very difficult. Before that, I find the internet way, because internet in Iran is very important, because it is just only device for introduce others and have a contact, because our television and radio and broadcasting in Iran is filtered by Islamic Republic of Iran, and we have not any special programs about sexuality and others, and internet is the best way. But unfortunately, the Islamic Republic of Iran filters the website and our website and all of the websites that have any special articles about sex and sexualities is filtered, and LGBT people find each other on the net and maybe in the private gathering parties, and some people can find each other in the some parks in cities. I can explain, when you saw somebody and you think maybe he's a gay, you can look at him and maybe you can make a relationship with him and talk to him or her, and you find his or she is a gay or lesbian, and you can make a relationship and continue your friendship. But it is very hard, and internet is not a safe place for find the people. We had many entrapped, and some police going to the on the net and find the people and entrap and caught the gay or lesbians or transgender on the net, and they lashed and sentenced to death.
How widespread is that, and what do they do?
Iranian laws, Islamic laws, is basically from Islam and Quran. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And Islam is don't accept the homosexuality and transgender. And if you are a gay or lesbian in Iran, you are that means is wrong and against the Islam, because Islam says this is forbidden. And if you are a gay and you have any gay or lesbian friendship, you are against in the Islam and you should sentence to death. And the police and the Islamic people and Islamic culture is very homophobic to the gay and lesbian people. For example, we have a gay gathering party in Shiraz, and the police attend to this party, and all of these people were sent to the court, and they lashed about 100 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And I believe that we are a family. All of the homosexuals in all of the around the world is a family, and we should support each other, because if we don't support each other, who can support us?
Mm-hmm. Well, we should tell people too that your website is www.pglo.net.
I have about more than 100 emails each day, and most of them is a foreign, and they are not Iranian. And I have many friends in the Western and also in the Europe that they would like support Iranian brothers and sisters and Iranian LGBT brothers and sisters, but they don't know how they can help. And in my opinion, we can help each other by cultural and by in the human rights cases.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. If the Western countries help to PGLO or Iranian LGBT brothers and sisters, it is a cultural and human rights help and support. It is not political, because we live in the social group, not in the political group.
Mm-hmm.
We have a monthly magazine, which name is Cherok, and a weekly radio on the net, which name is Rahat Ethnic Freedom. And we send these files by email to our members, mm-hmm. because they couldn't download these magazines and radio on the net in Iran.
Is your long-term goal to help to change attitudes inside Iran, or are you working to help gay people in Iran flee to other countries?
In my opinion, it is a generalized. We cannot choose just one item, and we are going to most of our activities is cultural activities, not political, because we believe that we have a problem in culture. If Islamic regimes is changed, but we have problems with the peoples too. We should learn them and teach them what means homosexuality. And I'm sure that the most of Iranian in Iran don't know different of the homosexuality and sodomy. And we should teach to them that sodomy and homosexuality is different. And if they have information, they can accept us. But if they don't have any information, they are homophobic.
Mm-hmm. Arsham, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Yeah, no, I'm welcome. Excuse me, and I'm sorry because my English is not very good, and I have some problems in my English because I never passed any English courses. And I learned English just by practice, and always say to my foreign people, if I have any problem, please teach me, because I should learn English very well. And if you let me, I say our email address, mm-hmm. pglo@pglo.net.
All
this
right.
is our Republic Affairs, and you can send your mail to pglo@pglo.net. Thank you for your support, and have a good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching in Vancouver, B.C., talking by phone with Arsham Parsi of the Persian Gay and Lesbian Organization. Again, their website is at www.pglo.net. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Sherry Lund, Rex Walkner, Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, Iran Securel, and Heather Kitching contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can now listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. Click on the features link on their front page. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some special LGBT history, music, and culture CD thank you gifts. That's thiswayout.org. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our occasional This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038 USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on 5UV Adelaide, South Australia, KUMD Duluth, Minnesota, WBCR Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.